Welcome to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're an entrepreneur driven by your faith or want to be driven by your faith, then you're in the right place. The best way to stay connected is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. This podcast doesn't exist without you, our community. One of the things that the community has asked us for is helping connecting them with like-minded faith-driven investors. We're in the process of launching Marketplace, a new platform to present your venture and connect with like-minded investors that are serious about honoring God as you are. Everything from philanthropic to market rate deals, from here in the U.S. to emerging markets. Check it out at faithdriveninvestor.org/marketplace. While you're there, please send us any thoughts you have about how this podcast might better serve you or any questions you might have about being a faith-driven entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, we're very thankful to see over 100 deals in the marketplace now and probably 50 or more above that that are going through the process right now. I get excited to see that there's probably 50 to 60% of the deals are US-based. And so there's, you know, people out of the Bay Area, people out of Chicago or Dallas or Atlanta, New York's doing something exciting. But then you also have, you know, 25 countries represented, you know, deals from, like you said, Romania and Bulgaria, and now pretty soon, hopefully, Ecuador.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for downloading. Seriously, you didn't have to listen to this podcast, but you do week after week. And one thing that makes this show so special is the feedback we receive from listeners just like you. Today's episode is the fruit of your feedback. Many of you have talked about how helpful it would be to connect the faith-driven investor world with the faith-driven entrepreneur world. Well, we heard you. And out of that has arrived something we are beyond excited to share with you. It's called Marketplace. And, well, you'll just need to hear for yourself what it's all about. And now's the time.
Welcome back to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. Really grateful to be here with my great co-host, Mr. Henry Kaestner. How are you today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. It's a beautiful day in Northern California. I feel blessed to be alive. And I get to hang out on the podcast with my esteemed co-host, William, and some really special guests.
We're definitely down the best voice of the podcast, the Rusty, today, so that's a tragedy for all of our listeners. So we pray that you will not tune out right now just because Rusty's not here, you know, so stay with us. We think it's going to be great. And we do actually have a pretty special episode today, so we're excited. You know, throughout the last 3 years, which is kind of crazy to think about, I remember sitting on that exact porch I'm looking at with Henry when some version of this concept of a podcast idea and a website, and I think I bought the web address that day on your back porch for faithdrivenentrepreneur.org, was birthed. And we are just so fortunate to be joined by two other members of the team, Vip Biberman and Andrew Furman, who are going to talk a little bit about other parts of the ministry. So as you might have gathered, there is a bigger ministry. Some people may have only met us through the podcast, or maybe you know about our daily blog. Maybe you've been in different parts of it, but we're going to bring you in to a little bit deeper of what the ministry is and the other facets of the organization, where we are today, what we have, and then also what the future looks like and what we're building. And so to start with that, we probably haven't done this in a while. I would love to turn it over to you, Henry, just to give a little bit of a preamble of why do we exist, what are we doing, and what is our goal and our mission?
Yeah, so obviously it's a great question. And to some extent, I think over the last 150 episodes or so, we've taken some amount of that for granted, that people understand what we're about. And yet it's probably good to revisit the mission. And every story's got a little bit of an origin story to it as well, of course. And so William and I have both been on the Sovereign's Capital team. And the genesis story for Faith Driven Entrepreneur comes from the fact that with time, in the first 4 or 5 years, found ourselves with a problem. And the problem was that we had too much deal flow. I remember actually a venture capitalist coming to us as we got started. I actually had reached out to him for counsel and said, we're thinking about starting this venture capital fund that's going to have a differentiator in that we can invest in founders that are driven by their Christian faith. And the person said to me at the time, is like, that's a terrible, horrible idea. And here's why. You have to understand that 80% of funds can't beat the market. And they can invest in anything they want. So how in the world could you possibly do well if you're only going to invest in 10 or 15% of the different companies you might otherwise invest in? And I didn't have a really good response or rebuttal to it then. And part of that was because I felt called to do it. And we're going to go ahead and do it because, again, we felt called. But with time, over 4 or 5 years, we came to understand actually that because we were different than the other 3,000 or 4,000 funds, that faith-driven entrepreneurs started to seek us out. And the very thing that this person had thought would be to our detriment, which is not having enough deal flow, only being able to have 10 or 15% as much as others, actually accrued to our favor. So we had significantly more. The challenge was that we ended up finding ourselves saying no to 98 or 99 out of 100 entrepreneurs that are coming to us for funding. And so for a bunch of guys that got into this space because we wanted to be an encouragement to faith-driven entrepreneurs, when you say no that many times, you're not being an encouragement to anybody. You're maybe to one out of 100, but that's not a very good hit rate. So we got together and said, there's an opportunity for us to have this ministry and to be able to love on others. What does it look like? And actually, there's a name behind it. There's a guy named Anatol Malanti. And Anatol, if you're listening to this right now, thank you. Anatol came in one day, and I can't remember how I got connected to him, but he said, listen, I'm running this real estate type of play. I'm in Moldova, and I'm looking for advice and capital. And I thought, well, this is going to be the easiest no ever. All right, we don't invest in real estate. I can't even calculate a cap rate. And I'm not really sure what Moldova is, or even if Moldova is actually really a country. Maybe this is one of my friends punking me. As it turns out, of course, Moldova is very much, of course, a country. And Anatol was very much a really, really neat entrepreneur. And I said, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to invest in you. You know, it's wrong stage, industry, geography. We'd gotten pretty good at talking about why we couldn't do things, and we're ready to pray for him and then say goodbye. But he wouldn't let me go. And he said, look, you have to understand that there aren't a lot of Christian entrepreneurs in Moldova. And I need to be able to ask questions to people like, you know, how do I think about choosing the right type of partner? How do I think about hiring or firing or setting comp plans or, you know, doing corporate social responsibility, all these different things. And my sense is that you, because of your background and because of what you guys do, you can help me. And so I felt like, well, I can't say no to that. So I scheduled a couple hour time where I said to Anatol that I'd share with him all the things that we had learned during our time at Sovereigns up until that point, and through the story that God wove through David and I at Bandwidth. And in preparing for that call, it came to me that, gosh, if I'm going to go do all this work, maybe we should just put it up on a website somewhere. And a lot of it were some of the core values and principles that we looked at for faith-driven entrepreneurs. So it's a focus on excellence, and it's a focus on identity in Christ above all, talking about call to create, talking about ministry and word ministry indeed, and things like that. So that became the faith-driven entrepreneur website. But one of the things we also realized, of course, is that the best way to being able to convey principles like that is through storytelling. And so pretty early on, we decided we needed to have a podcast. And that was a long time ago, many, many, many episodes ago. And we've had a lot of fun doing that. You know, when people ask me how the podcast is going or that they like it, you know, it's become my love language. My vanity metric is that we're being listened to in 140 plus countries. And I think that is super cool. And we've had a lot of fun with it. And yet at the same time, we came to understand that when an entrepreneur is looking for $250,000, $2 million of financing, and you send them a link to a podcast, you haven't really scratched their itch completely. They like it. They listen to it. They share it with their friends. But they are still looking for capital to be able to advance their journey. And they'd love to get that capital from faith-driven investors, people who will be on their cap table, strapped to the mast with them. They get why they're doing what they're doing. And so we collectively, Justin Foreman, our executive director at Faith Driven Entrepreneur and Faith Driven Investor, and our broader staff and us said, no, maybe there's a way for us to be able to serve the entrepreneur by introducing them, by creating a marketplace, if you will, to other investors. And it really started picking up steam. And, you know, when Justin and I started working together, as he came on board to lead and to take this nascent thing that God was doing through us, William, and really expand it and scale it through his experience at Right Now Media. But as we started doing that, we, in the very early days, said, gosh, maybe at some point in time, there needs to be a marketplace, a place where people can come and find faith-driven entrepreneurs that they might be in relationship with, they can mentor, that they could put capital in, that, you know, something like an angel list or a crowdfunder or something like that should probably exist in the church. Gosh, I hope somebody else does it, because it's going to probably be a lot of work if we'd have to do it. So for a couple of years, we just tried to really seriously encourage other people to get out there and do it. And then a couple of things happen in rapid succession. And one of those things is that thing, that person is going to be somebody I want to turn the mic over to here in a second. But March happened, and Luke, one of my partners in Sovereigns, called me up and recalling the experience of Cloud Factory, one of our portfolio companies in Nepal, that when the earthquake hit, was able to respond quickly, and we were able to get some money into the hands of their staff in Nepal to help out real time. When COVID hit, Luke called me up and said, gosh, maybe we need to get some money out in the hands of entrepreneurs that can be a blessing to their community. And maybe actually we need to get some debt capital out to some of these Christian-led businesses that are in some of these countries where there isn't any type of a government bailout, and help them. And this is not a time to negotiate terms. It's just let's get money in their hands so that the companies that had been flourishing pre-COVID are going to make it through. And so we put together a Google spreadsheet of the companies that are coming to us for COVID funding that were in the far corners and far reaches of the world that might have found out about us through the podcast or something like that. And we said, we want to be more intentional about trying to serve them in their time of need than maybe we had done before. And so it started off as a Google shared spreadsheet where we shared it with some other investors as well. And then we quickly began to understand that there's an opportunity for this to be something bigger. We partnered up with TrustBridge Global, which is a great ministry that helps people invest philanthropic capital overseas, along with the Impact Foundation that does the same thing, focusing on domestic givers. And we created the FDI Marketplace. And pretty soon we looked at and started seeing these entrepreneurs coming in and investors having an interest and said, you know, we really need somebody on board that understands the life of an entrepreneur, that's got a heart to serve them. And instead, since we've now established that we want to be a blessing to the other 99, who's going to be the person that's going to lead us through that? And we kind of collectively put our heads together, and it wasn't long before we came on the person who has what I think is the most interesting name in Christendom, which is Vip Vipperman. And so we have Vip with us live in the virtual studio, so to speak. Vip, welcome to the program.
Hey, Henry, William, glad to be here today.
So what was it about yourself and your background? I guess it's awkward for us to just to presume that you brag about yourself.
Why are you so fantastic? That's what Henry's trying to ask.
That's right.
If you could sum that up in 30 seconds or less.
So we had, what was it about? So William and I and Justin had known you from before and your experience with the Lion's Den and just a really winsome personality, a guy really serious about his Christian faith with a, just a great energy and enthusiasm for entrepreneurship. So tell us about that. Tell us about your experience at Lion's Den. What was it you were doing before we called you?
To tell the story of why I care about entrepreneurs, it honestly goes back to middle school. And I was a chubby kid that got picked on a lot when I was
For those of you who don't know, Vip is, I'd say, tall and reasonably skinny, very tall and reasonably skinny.
Yeah, but maybe. When I was in public school, I got picked on and bullied a lot. And I was really on the fringe. I never was a part of the in crowd. And when the Lord redeemed me, when someone introduced me to Christ, he said, hey, it doesn't matter what all those other kids say about you. It honestly doesn't even matter what you think about yourself. Which matters most is there's a God in heaven who loves you and he sent his son to die for you on a cross. And if you come to know him, everything's going to be different. And that choice and that conversation really began to impact me. And it just gave me a heart for that person who's left out or in need. So today, when I was on a call with an entrepreneur in Ecuador, and he said, nobody around me can help me with my business and no one can give me like a Christian perspective of how to take care of my employees and what things look like going through COVID. Now, I want to help that guy get him a solution to his problems, find somebody that will support him and a community that'll come around him. And so, you know, Lion's Den and being a part about that for the last 5 or 6 years has just been a joy. You know, I learned about the world of investing and got a chance to see some cross-border deals happen in my career. And just when I got a chance to see the role of the entrepreneur and the things that they were going through, I just wanted to be a part of it, support it. I love hearing about the new deals. I love learning about new technologies, but I really just want to see these folks who have this vision that they've been given from God a lot of times and that they're working so hard to accomplish. Just want to see them get the funding that they need to go and to build that vision and to accomplish that dream and to succeed, as you often, I've heard you say before, and to compete and win for the glory of God.
So that is awesome. We can almost just end the podcast right there. But you mentioned Lion's Den. Just take us through just a quick autobiographical sketch. Take us from middle school, because your journey has had you go to China. It's had you run the Lion's Den. It's had you in real estate. Just give us an autobiographical sketch and then camp out a bit on what is this Lion's Den? What was it that you're running in Dallas that got Justin, William, and I so fired up?
Yeah, so grew up in Richmond, Virginia, moved my senior year of high school, which was a huge change, but it just really taught me to trust in the Lord and got me an interesting cross-cultural experience, moving down south, they told me if I was from north of the I-10 line, I was a Yankee. That's a whole lot of people, man. And so I got a chance to experience cross-cultural walking early on. And so, you know, ended up staying in school in Louisiana, going to LSU. And during my summers, I had the chance to travel a little bit. And so did some mission projects, started doing work as an intern at a local church with some youth, and then got a chance to go overseas and serve one summer in Taiwan, and got a chance to truly experience like cross-cultural, you know, immersion for a summer, you know, learn the language a little bit, get exposed to the people, play some ball in another culture, and just really had a heart for it. And so got invited back. And after I graduated, I went and served in Taiwan for 3 years. So great experience, worked with college students. So again, just getting a chance to be in the lives of students and those people who are looking for something bigger than themselves and to feel a part of a community and getting a chance to introduce them to Christ. Ended up meeting my wife there, coming back to school and doing some seminary in the US in like cross-cultural work, and then went over and served in East Asia for about 6 years. So got experience in the Chinese culture and had a great time working with the underground church there. Started a small business in my work in China, but unfortunately didn't have a whole lot of business experience. All my work and my experience was in the ministry. And so at that time, it wasn't a very successful business. We had a chance to talk to some Chinese business leaders about the work that they were doing and about the work that the Lord was doing in their lives. But the business itself didn't really take off. As it turns out, knowing that your clients will pay or not for your services is pretty important in starting a business. And our clients at the time weren't willing to pay for the consulting work that we were doing. So when I came back to the States in 2012, I had the opportunity to work in the real estate industry. Got invited by a man in Dallas who'd been successful in real estate to come work for his firm and to use my experience in the Chinese culture to work with Chinese who are looking at investing in the U.S. markets. Hundreds of millions of dollars was coming into the U.S. real estate markets from China, and he wanted a piece of it. And he was a believer, and I was like, well, let's go for it. And so the Lord was very generous very quickly. We had some opportunities to go from single family houses to master plan communities to investing in 700 unit apartment complexes in LA with family office money out of Shenzhen. And so got a chance to really see the investment world from a unique perspective and doing those cross-border deals. And because of my passion for mission and because of my experience now in the investment world, I got invited to the Lion's Den event in Birmingham, Alabama. And Mark Wesson and Chuck Weldon and Andrew Clark, some of the guys there, were just doing an incredible job bringing in deals and what we like to call a Shark Tank for Jesus type of events, where folks would pitch their deal in front of a group of investors and, you know, get a chance to get some financial support. And so I worked with a group from Dallas, about 8-9 other folks, to bring the event to the DFW area and started here. And so for about 6 years, we've run that event and just been getting entrepreneurs on the stage to share their story and to make a pitch. So that's where I got a chance to hear about FDI for the first time, meet guys like Justin through the Right Now Media Work is Worship Conference, and you know, be a part of that ecosystem. And it's just been exciting to support companies. And I mean, we thought, hey, maybe someone will invest in a few of them. And within 5 years, we saw $10 million invested across the ecosystem and 20 or more companies get funded. And we're like, man, there is something going on here that we can't control. And it's really amazing. And the thing that amazed me the most, honestly, were the times when someone would show up to the events, invest, and it happened a couple of times, over $1 million in a company, and then leave, and we didn't know who they were or where they came from, because it was a live event. They could show up, you know, buy a ticket the day of and walk. And it took us a few months, but tracking down that person and just being like, how in the world did you find out? Like, where did you go? And they would just say things like, hey, I was seeking to find out, you know, where God was moving, you know, how to connect business and faith, you know, how to make an investment, you know, that goes along with the things that I hear at church. And I heard about the Lion's Den, and that's how I got here. And those are the same stories we're hearing now about FDI, where people are saying, man, there's something amazing is happening there. God is on the move and we want to be a part of it. So how do we plug in?
So William, Justin, you and I find VIP. We get to know the work that he's doing at Dallas Lion's Den and say, gosh, there's an opportunity for this to happen 365 days a year. There's that many entrepreneurs that are looking for assistance. And actually, we know through our work at Sovereigns and just generally the faith-driven investor ministry that there are a large number of investors that are looking for deals like that too. So if there's going to be somebody to serve entrepreneurs at scale year-round, we got our guy, right?
Definitely what I said. And I think it's worked out. It's been 6 months. I think we're doing good. We're about to find out.
So why do we think it's going to go? You know, William, of course, you're talking tongue in cheek, but if you tell us, walk us through. So, you know, the audience has heard up until now, you know, we get this idea in March, we start this Google spreadsheet, we go ahead and we think maybe there's an opportunity to do something a little bit more formal in terms of introducing investors, entrepreneurs. And if that's going to be the case, it needs to be in HTML, it needs to be up on a website. Walk us through that. You come on board in the summer. We have kind of like an alpha launch in September 23rd, but why are we encouraged enough about the progress of the marketplace to actually think it might be worth having a podcast on it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's been amazing. One of my most incredible experiences was a week ago when I had a conversation. So I didn't realize that there were 30 or more Christian business accelerators around the world. And it's been awesome just to partner with those groups like Praxis and Synapis and Triga and so many others that are doing amazing things. And one of them referred in a company, an organization called Bluefields in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The other day, I had my very first entrepreneur interview where we're kind of looking at this guy's deal, and it was completely in his language. Like, we had to have a translator to talk through the deal the whole time. And so, I mean, I've traveled to different countries, you know, and been a part of some different things, but I just thought it was amazing that we're doing a, you know, a deal review in a language that requires a translator to go through it. I'm sure there's, you know, folks that have been doing that for a long, long time, but most of the folks up until now all spoke English because it had some sort of English education, and it's been exciting. But yeah, I mean, we're very thankful to see over 100 deals in the marketplace now and probably 50 or more above that that are going through the process right now. I get excited to see that there's probably 50 to 60% of the deals are US based. And so there's, you know, people out of the Bay Area, people out of Chicago or Dallas or Atlanta, New York's doing something exciting. But then you also have, you know, 25 countries represented, you know, deals from, like you said, Romania and Bulgaria, and now pretty soon, hopefully, Ecuador.
Tell us a little bit about, so if somebody's listening to the podcast, they may be thinking, oh, this is me, right? I'm looking for faith-driven capital. I'd love to figure that out. What steps would they take? What does it look like to get on the marketplace? You said over 100 companies. I think it's going to be 150 soon. Tell us a little bit about what that process looks like and how somebody might think about whether this is the right fit for them or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a blessing that a lot of our deals come through referrals. So organizations have referred them in. But if you're an entrepreneur that's in a part of the world, or you've just never, you know, connected with one of these other organizations before, you can go to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur website, click on the Find Investors button, and there's an app that you can fill out real quick just to enter some basic information so that we can follow up with you. So it's a pretty easy process so that we can connect and kind of learn the story of the entrepreneur and what they're trying to accomplish. And then we normally try to take a little time, you know, interviewing them to hear their story and to get them plugged in.
Yeah, that's great, Vip. And just to let everybody in, you know, we also have demo days, as you might imagine. So, you know, certain companies we feature by themes or certain ideas, we bring investors together selectively. We're not an accelerator. As we mentioned, we're a marketplace, but we do try to come alongside some of these companies and showcase in a little different light. And we've had many investments happen through the marketplace. We've had much community been built as well. And the other thing, Vip, you may can speak to this a little bit, but as of today, you know, definitely across the spectrum too, we have people raising $200,000 to $300,000. We have people raising $5 million. We have people raising debt. We have people raising equity. We have people doing real estate deals. I mean, probably 70%+ of the deals are technology based at some level, but a good number are not. And then we also have deals internationally. You know, there's preschools in Kenya. There's Moringa Farm agricultural deals in Africa. There's coffee shops and retail businesses in Southeast Asia, as well as a large number of SaaS companies. But anything else you would add on sort of the makeup of what type of companies are already on there and just maybe what entrepreneurs could expect if they show up at your doorstep?
Yeah, as far as the makeup, one of the coolest things we've done is to partner with National Christian Foundation to take some of the top 30 things that people give to. And so we have that list. You know, people give to work in the anti-trafficking space, anti-slavery space, poverty, those types of categories. So we're always talking to entrepreneurs, like, what about your company is affecting somebody in one of these categories? So are you helping people get jobs in a place where there's poverty? Are you helping women that have been trafficked to have a career? Are you helping people that have been ex-offenders to get a new start to life? And so it's really fun to see some of these ministry impact opportunities come through the businesses. So we love to see deals with those kind of things. Now, one of the conversations I have often with the entrepreneurs is how their faith integrates with their company. On the marketplace, we look at it in four simple ways. So personal, internal, external, and what we like to call beyond. So personal would be the faith of the founder. You know, I want to build a business to the glory of God, have a quiet time each day, and just dedicated to spending time in the Word. Internal would be, you know, ministering to my employees, giving them a chance to hear about the good news, whether it's an open door policy or a Bible study I do once a week. You know, then external, am I reaching out to my users of my app or the consumers who buy my product, those who I serve through my service business? And then finally, that beyond category where it's, wow, you know, did you go to that country in order to start a business to help, you know, plant churches or help to redeem lives, help to, you know, give opportunities to those in poverty? And so, you know, we're not saying that a company has to go up different levels. We found that some people in the business that they're in is really perfectly set for internal ministry. But for others, there's an opportunity to go above and beyond where they're already at. So that's a fun part of the conversation we get to have with each and every entrepreneur and the way that they're serving and how they're leveraging their business experience, but also how their faith kind of plays out within their work.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, yeah, there definitely is not necessarily a, you know, the next tier is better. As we say here often, one size fits one. One of the goals of our ministry is to really come alongside you as the entrepreneur and try to help figure out what is God doing in your specific business, in your specific industry, with your specific employee base, in your specific geography, and God works through different ways through all of those. And one of the other things we love to do, I'll highlight a couple other podcasts we have here. If you're sitting here listening and you may be wondering to yourself, should I even be looking for capital? I think there's two great podcasts we've done. One with Jessica Kim that you should be able to find and we'll link to in our show notes, just about investors and how to think about whether that you should even take capital or not, if that's even a good idea for you as an entrepreneur. And then another with a gentleman named Jake Thompson, who also works with us at Sovereigns Capital, just on fundraising 101. What it looks like, what are some pitfalls, what are questions that in this case Vip and or Andrew are going to ask you or any investor is going to ask you, and hopefully that can arm you to be a little better equipped when you come into this conversation. So Vip, as we think about this, anything else you would love to highlight about the ministry? Potentially, I know we do some things like flight school, we do some other things. Is there anything else that you would like to highlight that the entrepreneurs could get plugged into? Because obviously the marketplace is exciting, we're excited about it, but content, community, those types of things are very exciting to us as well, whether dollars actually flow into the company or not.
Yeah, some of the things I'm excited about that we've got going on. For those who are coming to FDE looking for a little bit more business help, we're doing a once-a-month session where Henry is hosting a different venture capital investor, a different successful industry leader or CEO, and they're going to do 30 minutes of talk time, like talking about what they've learned, some experiences that they've had that will help entrepreneurs that tune in, but also 30 minutes of Q&A time that'll really give the entrepreneurs a chance to actually ask questions to Henry and the team. So I know a lot of people love the podcast and downloading the information, but some people want to give some feedback and get some questions answered. So that'll be a chance for those entrepreneurs to really engage that are looking for business help. We also have this amazing Bible study series. It's a partnership with J.D. Greer, really connecting to the people in the pew, as well as to entrepreneurs that are out there, that gives a chance for, you know, folks that have known FDE for a long time to go through this now 8-week long Bible study. But it's also a chance for people who've been a part of this FDE ecosystem or learning about it to then take it and do it locally where they are. You know, so we have ones ran by our team where you can get a chance to hear and to listen and be a part of it, to join that community. But you can also go use the content for free and start something where you are, especially with this virtual world we live in these days. You can have people from, you know, your city or 2 or 3 countries away to be a part of that with you. And so it's been exciting to be different ways where we're trying to help build like spiritual side of the entrepreneur walk, but also the business side of the walk too.
Thanks so much.
Vip, this is awesome. So a good chance that as we come to close, and William will ask our last question, just to kind of revisit the purpose of the ministry. So Faith-Driven Entrepreneur is a ministry. It's not a for-profit platform. We're not taking a promote or anything like that. We're not taking 2%. We exist to serve you. And then as we serve you, as we hopefully encourage you by bringing in a community and helping you understand some of the stories and hopefully serving you in other ways through what Vip just rolled out, our hope is that you might in turn encourage and look to equip and maybe even activate other faith-driven entrepreneurs that are in your community. Now, we're in a really special time in history where there's never been as much division in the marketplace as there is. And yet we're uniquely equipped to really love on, maybe even as many as 1,000 customers in a month, or 100 employees, or maybe it's just dozens. But in each case, we have an opportunity to love our neighbor. And you know, ours is a ministry that hopes to see a time when there are 1 million+ faith-driven entrepreneurs who are awoken and activated and encouraged to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love their neighbor, to be a great cultural witness, to come up with and solve the problems that they see in society and lean into opportunities with new products and services and just the way they do work. And that could be for somebody who's doing a software as a service business, all the way to people that have more of a social entrepreneurial bent, as Vip was talking about before. So join us in that. That's our hope. Our hope is that as we serve you, we'll equip you to serve and encourage others, that there's a multiplication effort of this to the time where hopefully there'll be 1 million+ faith-driven entrepreneurs worldwide that are bearing witness to their faith, and that a real revival happens because of that. William, I want to hand it over to you. We are in the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur podcast, and we close out every one of these with the same question. What is it?
Absolutely. Vip, we love to see how God's word is alive and breathing each and every day. And it's fun to see where God's word impacts our guests like yourself and how it transcends into our listeners whenever and however they may be listening. And so we'd love to invite you, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, something from God's word. Could be something you read this morning, could be something you've been meditating on for a season of your life, or this specific season. Just invite you to share with our audience where God has you in his word today.
Yeah, absolutely. 1 John 2:14, I read this morning. It talks about, and I wrote down in my journal, may we truly know you, Lord. May you and your word abide in us. May we overcome the evil one. May we be strong in you. You know, as I've been working with entrepreneurs this last year, it's been really exciting just to talk to them about their lives, what God's doing, what God's teaching them, but realizing the entrepreneurial journey is difficult. You know, especially these days when there's sometimes more people in your house than you're expecting to be a part of. Some people are lonely and they're all by themselves because they're single and, you know, they don't have other folks taking the journey with them. And everybody's going through so much more than just running their business right now. And so it's as much as any time ever in our history, you know, it's that abiding each day with the Lord that helps get us through. And we would encourage, you know, any listener to turn back to. So take some time in 1 John to draw back close to our King.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Vip, for joining us. Thank you for your passion for entrepreneurs. Thank you for your humble pursuit of serving them. We are so grateful to have you in that position. And I hope so many people listening will be able to get to know Vip, and he'll be able to point you in the right direction in the funnel and the ministry to wherever God might be leading you and wherever you might need help with content, community, ideas, investment, whatever that may be. So grateful for you.
Indeed, indeed. Grateful for our audience, grateful for our guest, grateful for my co-hosts. God bless you all.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. We are very grateful for the opportunity to serve you, the larger faith-driven entrepreneur community, and we want to stay connected. The best way for you to do that is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. And while you're there, we want to hear from you. We derive great joy from interacting with many of you. And it's been very rewarding to see people come to the site and listen to the podcast now from more than over 100 countries. But it's even more important to us that you feel like this is your show and that you'll help make it something that best equips you on your entrepreneurial journey, one that you're proud of and one that you're going to share with others. Hey, this podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from many of our friends, executive producer Justin Foreman and program director Johnny Wills. Music is by Carl Kegwell. You can see and hear more of his work at summerdregs.com. Audio and editing by Richard Barley of Cornerstone Church in San Francisco.